Well, hello, and welcome back to A Good Book Review, a podcast where we sit down and review a wide variety of books which have been written for a Christian audience. This is episode 9, and my name is Chase Vitort, and this is Alex Daniels.
In today's episode, we'll be sitting down once again with Pastor Michael Bone and hearing his thoughts on J.F. Packer's Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God. This book was originally published in 1961 and is available on Amazon for a list price of $13.62 at the time of this recording.
Michael currently serves as the assistant pastor for Christ Covenant Church in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and studied at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School prior to his serving at this church. He also reviewed another book by Packer for us on episode 5 of our program. And so if you haven't already listened to that, you should go back and listen for his thoughts on Knowing God, which is perhaps Packer's best known work. That being said, Michael, thanks so much again for joining us. Welcome back.
So glad to be back.
Whoop, whoop. All right, jumping right into it. Question one, Michael, what was the main reason that compelled you to initially read Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God?
So this book, you know, I don't remember. This was not the kind of book that I remember ever having like a great epiphany, like, wow, I need to get my hands on that book or anything. I just don't remember.
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
It's been, you know, as is sometimes the case, it's been a while since I first read this book. And so I guarantee, though, that when I saw the title, that interested me.
Right.
This is a kind of a perennial issue and discussion.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The idea of the interplay between God's sovereignty and our evangelistic witness. And so I'm sure that in seeing that title, I was drawn to understand that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think is the main problem that J.I. Packer addresses in this book?
So I'll just let Packer say for himself.
Nice. Good call.
This is in the foreword to the book. He kind of talks about what the book isn't. And then he says, okay, well, what is it? And he says, it is a piece of biblical and theological reasoning designed to clarify the relationship between three realities, God's sovereignty, man's responsibility, and the Christian's evangelistic duty. That's what it is. It came out of a lecture series that he was doing. Yeah. And so he's just dealing with this issue of evangelism under an understanding of God's total sovereignty, and yet understanding that man is still responsible in order to turn to him in faith. And so how do you work those things out? How do you understand them properly?
Yeah, that's a great problem to be addressing. Bearing that in mind, the question we have written down here is, do you believe that every believer should read this as an encouragement to become more involved in evangelism, since we are called to make disciples of the nations?
So I don't know if I would say every Christian needs to read this particular book. Every Christian should be involved in some capacity in evangelism, which does not mean going out every day street preaching necessarily.
Right, right.
And maybe we have some guys doing that. That's great. But you know, it for the average Christian, it's just going to mean being ready to give an answer for the hope that you have. That is just the duty that we have. It's being light in the world. And when that light is noticeable, there will be questions about it. So that's the maybe the primary means by which evangelism takes place often in the average life of a Christian.
Right.
And so that's important to remember. When we're talking about evangelism, it's not necessarily the work of an evangelist, which is going to be a little bit different, probably a lot more intense. But this book can be helpful in encouraging evangelism. There are many other books that you could read if you just want help learning how to evangelize. And honestly, this is not a practical how-to. This is not a, hey, are you scared to evangelize your friend? Here's how you can be helped. No, this is exactly what, you know, I just read a second ago. He's just trying to work out the questions and the problems that often come up when you're talking about the total sovereignty of God on the one hand, and man's responsibility on the other, and how that interplays with our wanting and our doing of evangelism.
Yeah, if I could just jump right in there too, I want to insert a question that we briefly mentioned before. So I believe it was Nine Marks of a Healthy Church by Dever that I was reading when he talks about, I think it was the chapter on a biblical understanding of conversion or evangelism. And he references, someone who would describe himself as, I would assume Dever would call himself a Calvinist. And like that perception of what sovereignty means in the Christian faith. He talks about how, a lot of people might be inclined towards being concerned with the Calvinist's motivation or lack thereof towards evangelizing. And I remember Dever, he actually points to guys like Spurgeon and John Piper as really great examples of men who did not ever compromise their reverence for the sovereignty of God, and yet also were very bold, zealous men who were quick to go out and profess the superior worth and supremacy of Christ. And so bearing that forward in mind, Michael, how does Packer kind of address that issue? Obviously, like you kind of mentioned that in the forward, this tension between perceivably, God's sovereign control by will of decree over everything and man's responsibility as is laid out in scripture in the context of evangelism.
So Packer definitely addresses this issue. So there is this idea of what's sometimes called the hyper-Calvinist, the kind of person who would say, well, God is sovereign. He's going to do as he wills. He's going to save who he wants to. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I don't have to do anything.
Right.
I don't have to do anything about it. Now, I will say, in my experience, I've never met a person like
Same.
That.
I would also say that.
But it is a real thing. In in the history of the church, there are times that certain people are more like that. Packer brings up, I can't remember the exact context, but he's speaking about one particular well-known missionary. Off the top of my head, I'm not remembering who it was, who was told that, when God wants to save the heathen, he'll do it, and he'll do it without me, and he'll do it without you. Mm. And it was done to discourage this man from going into the mission field. So obviously that's problematic. Mm-hmm. That is a problematic understanding. Packer very clearly addresses the need for evangelism. What he also does, though, is basically show that anyone who would say, well, if you have an understanding that God is totally sovereign over the salvation of sinners, that's going to, in some way, make people less likely to evangelize.
Mm-hmm.
He says, actually, that's not true. And the truth is that you need a firm understanding of the sovereignty of God, that he saves people, that he wants to save people, that he's able to save even those who are farthest from him,
right?
That you need to have that kind of confidence in a God who does that in order to have the kind of long-term boldness that you need in faithful long-term evangelism of those around you. So you need to have an understanding of God in that way in order to actually have the basis for evangelizing in a proper sense. So he does both, kind of, says we don't want to fall into this kind of hyper-Calvinist, God is sovereign, I don't need to do anything, camp.
Right.
No, evangelism is the instrument by which God accomplishes his purposes.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the means by which God builds his kingdom. This is the means by which he reaches people. And so it needs to be done because this is how God works.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other end, you'll never have the kind of confidence and boldness that you need in evangelism if you do not know the sovereignty of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Now, for the believer that is planning on reading this book, where do you think is a good spot for them to start reading that in their Christian walk?
So this is really it's a topical book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's addressing a particular issue. If this is not a concern that you have, right? If you're not asking this question, oh, why do I need to evangelize if God is in control of all things?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not asking that question and that question doesn't bother you, you probably don't need to read this book. It could still be helpful in understanding the different arguments. It's a shorter book. It's easy to read. Packer is a very good and clear and concise communicator, but it's probably not necessary for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just say, if you have a question about this, if you're wondering, what good is evangelism if God is sovereign? Or if you're wondering, how could one of those silly people who believes that God is totally sovereign in evangelism, how could they, even want to evangelize? Like, what would be the reason for them wanting to do that if God's just going to do this anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Either one of those questions would be a great place to bring you to read this book.
Mm-hmm. All right. Gotcha. Regarding commitment, for the person, the listener who's interested in reading this, how much time would you expect that they would need to be committing? Like, how many, half hour sessions of reading or hour sessions of reading? I don't know what is most applicable to our listeners here. Obviously I can see it sitting in front of you, Michael. It's not an incredibly thick book, especially we just finished the podcast on Knowing God. So comparatively much thinner. What kind of commitment are we looking at here?
No, this is a small book. It's easy to read. Like I said, Packer is a very clear, concise communicator. My copy is 126 pages. This is an older copy. I don't know, you know, what it looks like in newer copies of the book, but it is the kind of thing that, quite honestly, you could probably read in a weekend. Like even the average reader, right? Not sure, even saying you're a speeder. If you're, if you can read very quickly, you could probably read it in, you know, 2-3 hours is my guess. But you know, the average reader, you can definitely get through this thing in just a handful of half hour to hour long reading sessions. It will not take very long. And it flows together so well because it was a lecture series, especially. It's not broken up as much as, say, a Knowing God, where you have very specific topics broken up into different chapters. It all is kind of built around the same argument. So it all flows together as one full cohesive argument.
Sweet.
All right. So from reading the book, has there been a lesson that has impacted you the most from the book and will continue to shape your thinking in regards to evangelism?
So definitely this idea of, you know, the instrument by which God uses to save is evangelism. Right? So to not think about his sovereignty and control as something that would then detach us from the responsibility we have to evangelize. And then even on the other side, the idea that God being sovereign does not in any way allow for us to say, well, then I am not responsible for my sin. I'm not responsible to turn to him. He's in control of all things. No, it doesn't mean that we are, you know, kind of, you know, helpless. It doesn't mean that we are without a will, anything like that. That is not a biblical understanding of God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. So those things are very helpful. The thing that has stuck with me the most, and just before doing this podcast in the past week or so, I just read quickly back through it. Because I just wanted to remind myself of the book, and it had been a little while. And it's been a while, and yet there are so many aspects of it that I've noticed are just naturally a part of how I now think, right? They're just naturally a part of the way that I speak about these things. When I'm dealing with somebody from the congregation or somebody who has questions about these things from outside of the church, and they're asking me about, you know, these ideas of God's sovereignty, I'm very quick often to say things like, you know, I know that this can sound like a big topic, but when you pray, do you ever pray that God would save someone, that he would save your family member who doesn't know him? Oh, yeah. Well, of course. Well, that what you are showing there is that God is sovereign in salvation. And so you can ask of him to do this. Sovereignty, Packer points out, is actually the very basis for prayer in general, not just for the salvation of others, but also just in general. You are asking of God something, knowing that he's the one that can do any of these things. And so that is something that I get straight from Packer. That is something that came straight from him. And I could have remembered and said, oh yeah, this comes from that book somewhere, or it comes from J.I. Packer somewhere. But I didn't, you know, realize maybe how much it had influenced me until I was reading back through it recently.
And with regards to that book and its influence, I think, of course, Michael, you're a great testament to like its impact on you. But also, I would say just across the other Christian literature that like I've been able to read over the last few years, like this book is, for as small as it is, I can't believe how frequently it's quoted in so many other books. It's just crazy. So I think that certainly testifies to its impact that it's had on theologians over the past few generations. Michael, we talk a lot on this podcast about rereadability, and that's a topic we want to come back to because certainly there's a value in that. And so as you look back on, I don't know how many times you've read this book, but a question we'd be interested to hear answered would be how often have you personally felt the need to go back to it? Like, is that something that you feel seasonally or annually or biannually? And then beyond you, what do you think, like, the average person who reads this once, is that sufficient, like moving forward? Or would you say, hey, reread this again in 5 years just to remind yourself of some of the truth that Packer impresses through it?
Yeah, so I've only read this book a couple of times. I've not read it a lot. Now, I personally, there are very, very few books that I reread. Not because I don't want to, but because there's so many books I want to read. And I read so regularly that it's hard for me to go back and reread a book. Because it feels like, oh, I'm not accomplishing
getting new knowledge. Yep, I feel that.
And so, you know, whereas a book like Knowing God by Packer, I've read a half dozen times. Part of that is because of the length. Part of that is because of the subject matter. Part of that is because it's so useful as far as like small group study and can be used over and over again in mm-hmm. different ways. With this book, it is much more topical. It's much more addressed to a particular issue. And so this is the kind of book that I think would be great to, you know, pull out. Somebody asks you a question about God's sovereignty. Hey, this is a great reference book. It's a great book mm-hmm. to go back to, say, what did Packer say about that? Mm-hmm. I don't know that this is the kind of book that you would be rereading once a year. You know, it's it's not necessarily going to be a devotional work that you're, you know, using regularly. Mm-hmm. But it is, I mean, it is a helpful resource, even if you are not rereading it all the time.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. What kind of response does it invoke after reading it? Like, and if it does, I guess an example is like, if you read a book on holiness, that would give you more of a zeal to fight sin. Is there sort of like a response from reading it that it kind of invokes upon you?
Definitely. So, I mean, ideally, you should have a sense of both the grandness and glory of God in mm-hmm. his sovereignty. I mean, in his glorious sovereignty, you should have a sense of the need then to witness. You should feel how important it is to evangelize and how important it is that the church does the work of evangelism. Mm-hmm. And again, like we said before, this is something that is done by the body of Christ. It's done in different ways by different parts of the body. That's not to say that everybody has to do it in the exact same way. Not everybody has to go and, you know, you don't go and lead these big evangelistic crusades. That's not how people are usually actually evangelized long-term. And so, it does impress the need to evangelize.
Mm-hmm.
It does impress upon you the need in large part because this is what God has chosen as the means by which he would reach people. And it provides the hope that you can have that even though people are sinful and rebellious, even though people have, like all of us, created idols that mm-hmm. they want to worship and have turned away from the true and living God, just like God has reached us through the message of the gospel, so too he will do for others. And you can have that confident hope, mm-hmm. knowing that it doesn't matter how sinful this person is. It doesn't matter how far away they seem from the Lord. Mm-hmm. He is the one that is ultimately sovereign in this process.
Yeah.
And so I can go out and I can witness and I can evangelize anywhere, everywhere, to everyone, praise knowing God. That he is going to do the work that he wants to do.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, man. Praise God. That's good truth. You'd mentioned earlier today, you talked about how prior to reading this book, it would probably be a good idea or a good prerequisite to reading it to at least have begged the question, the relationship between God's controlling sovereignty and man's responsibility, not at the expense of one another, but mutually beneficially to one another. So bearing that in mind, are there any literary works that you would recommend preceding this book or subsequent to it that you would say, I mean, maybe on the grounds of sovereignty, you'd be like, man, here's a book that I would highly recommend prior to reading Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God. Or maybe in response to it, after it, you would say, okay, now that we have this starting ground that we can build a foundation on, here is a book that I might recommend to further encourage zeal for evangelism. So yeah, to boil that question back down, what books would you give recommendation for relative to before and after Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God that would benefit the listener today?
That's a good question. I think that Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God in a lot of ways is the starting point, like of a book, right? So as far as books to read beforehand, I think that Packer does a good job at taking these ideas of sovereignty and responsibility. Now, like if you don't have a good handle on the scriptures themselves,
mm-hmm.
right? If you've not spent a lot of time looking at Romans 9 and mm-hmm. Romans 10, you probably should start there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like that Packer is writing out of an understanding of those things. And he's trying to apply them and show how these things all work together and how the world is as God has made it, how creation is and how it relates to God. But he does it in a very, I mean, so this was originally given as a lecture series for InterVarsity, right? Mm-hmm. Jan Packer was one of the kind of initial leaders of the InterVarsity movement, right. InterVarsity Christian Fellowship.
Yep.
And so he was giving these lectures to mostly college students.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So this was not something that he was doing at like a seminary. or something like that. This was something that he was doing for the average college student. Mm-hmm. And so it's really not difficult to understand. As far as evangelism then goes, there are, you know, many more books that are going to go into the maybe more the helpful processes of evangelism, or, you know, great starting points. So books that have been very helpful for me in that regard would be books like The Gospel and Personal Evangelism by Mark Dever. There's a great book. I can't remember the guy's name, but there's a great book called Questioning Evangelism, which is not about questioning evangelism. It's about using questions, particularly in evangelism, to help kind of draw out people's worldview, presuppositions, things like that. So there's a lot of places that you could recommend after the fact. But what Packer does is actually, I think, give a very helpful foundation for the need, as well as the kind of the reason for going out and doing the work of evangelism.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that's a great ending point for our podcast today. Michael, again, incredibly grateful for you willing to take the time to spend with us, sharing some of your insights and wisdom on the book. Thanks again for joining us, Michael.
Glad to do it.
Yeah. If any of our listeners were interested in getting in contact with you, where could they go?
So our church website is ccc-pca.org. I have various things that I've written there, and you can find sermons. You can email me at PastorMichaelJBowman@gmail.com. You can also search iTunes or Google. I have a podcast called Thinking Out Loud with Pastor Michael, where I just record myself talking about things I want to in my car.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time. Also, if listeners were, as we said in the introduction of the podcast, if listeners have still not gone back and listened to episode 5, you could do so or refresh your mind on that. We had Michael discussing knowing God back in episode 5, so feel free to jump back there.
As we always note, if you, the listeners, have any further questions, concerns, or contentions with what we've discussed today on today's program, feel free to email us at goodbookreviewpodcast@gmail.com. No uppercase letters, no spaces, just goodbookreviewpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. Well, we'll be back in a couple of weeks with episode 10. So until then, take care.